can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
We welcome you back inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf and NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell, the master of the tape. And today, Greg, we talk about the big uglies up front. And what we've been trying to do throughout this film room process is not just go down a list of guys, but sort of put them into categories. Different teams are looking for different things. And we will do that again today with the offensive linemen. But we will start with the guys who are the first round projected guys, especially the top two guys who may be top five picks, these players. Of course, Greg Robinson from Auburn and Jake Matthews from Texas A&M.
And I think when you look at both these guys, it really points to the difference between prospect and player.
That's right.
Okay, and I think that's a really important distinction to make, because most people just assume when you draft a guy high that he steps right into the NFL and he's going to be a great player right away, which, as we know, that doesn't happen all the time. It does happen, but it gets to draft philosophy. Do you draft a guy knowing that it might take a little time, but the payoff will be, hey, you might have an all-pro, Hall of Fame-type player down the road? Or do you draft a guy who you feel very comfortable can play right away and help you? And that's what you have with Greg Robinson and Jake Matthews. Robinson is a prospect. He's 6'6", 335 pounds, and he's very athletic. There's not many guys like that, Bo. He's a guy who is a powerful drive blocker. When he gets on defensive linemen, he moves them, and he moves them easily. But in Auburn's offense, the passing game was not really an NFL passing game. So at this point in time, he's not real proficient with a kick slide. He's not real comfortable with pass sets. He'll struggle early on pass setting and pass protecting in the NFL. So maybe an offensive line coach, if he was sitting here right now, would say, hey, we can teach him that in 3 weeks and he'll be fine.
Right.
Maybe that's true, but it's just something else you have to teach him, and he hasn't done it yet. Then you look at Jake Matthews, who's 30 pounds less than Greg Robinson. So he's not the same kind of physical specimen. His game is built on repetitive, fundamental execution.
He's a technician.
He rarely is off balance. He's rarely off his feet. He's aware of what's happening, stunts, blitzes. He's very sound in all areas. Not quite the size athlete that Greg Robinson is, but a player more than likely in Jake Matthews you can plug in week one, either at right tackle or left tackle, depending on your needs, and he'll be your starter.
How about Taylor Lewan from Michigan and Cyrus Kwanjo from Alabama? Are they players or prospects?
I think Kwanjo is a prospect because he's a very athletic kid, very athletic. There are times when you watch Kwanjo, you think he's the best left tackle in the draft. And then there are other times where his footwork and his balance are so poor that he gets eaten up and he looks like a bad left tackle. So he's a prospect. Some might feel that he needs to start on the right side, similar to the Dallas Cowboys left tackle Tyrone Smith, who was young, very athletic, started on the right side, has since moved to left tackle in the NFL. I see Kwanjo in a similar fashion. Now, Taylor Lewan has something which you can't teach and is an absolute attribute, and that's size. He's almost 6'8", and he's an athletic kid. He in some ways reminded me of Nate Solder when Solder came out of Colorado. Solder also close to 6'8", needed some refinement in how to play tackle, because Solder actually went to Colorado as a tight end. Lewan is a big, athletic kid, all that's a positive, who needs some work and some refinement.
All right, as we begin to compartmentalize these prospects, let's talk about the guys who are certain tackles because of size. I'm thinking specifically of Cornelius Lucas, guys like Juwan James from Tennessee, and even a player like Morgan Moses from Virginia.
Now, Morgan Moses, let's start with him. Very imposing size dimensions, about 6'6", almost 320. Moves pretty well. Not You know, you wouldn't call him a dancing bear. But see, the thing with guys that have a massive frame like that, and I think of Antonio Richardson as well from Tennessee, who's about the same size as Morgan Moses, is they're difficult to get the edge on because of sheer mass and sheer size. So even if they don't play with great technique, even if they initially give up the edge, they can recover a little bit because of sheer size. And Richardson and Moses are those kinds of tackles. They could probably end up starting their NFL careers on the right side of the line. You mentioned Juwan James. He was the right tackle at Tennessee, the other tackle with Richardson.
Right.
James, to me, was a very prototypical type right tackle. Big mass, about 6'4", but really well-built. That strong side right tackle, you know, who can run block. I thought he had some athleticism to him. Some teams might even see him kicking inside at guard, but I think he's a kid who, with his physicality, his toughness, his size dimensions, James can step in and play in the NFL pretty quickly.
And Cornelius Lucas has the size that you can dream on. He is a prospect, though.
He's the most fascinating guy to me. There's always one guy you watch and you just sort of latch on to. You know he's not a first-round pick.
Sure.
You know he's not coming in as an all-pro. But this kid, 6'8 and 318, I believe it is, and he's a plus athlete, not a great athlete, but a plus athlete. And again, you start dealing with size. And in a league that really values pass protection in left tackles, much more so than physicality and run blocking, to me, Cornelius Lucas is a fascinating prospect. Because there are guys in this league, Bryant McKinney comes to mind, who have played for a lot of years. Big guys who at times don't necessarily look pretty doing it, but because they're so big, they can pass protect. Lucas has a huge wingspan, and he's a big, big man. And I think down the road, he can play left tackle. He can be a pass-protecting left tackle in this league.
Now, while that group of players is mostly prospects, as you break them down, let's talk about a few players. And these are players who played mostly tackle in college. They may slide inside,
sure,
but they stand out for their versatility and maybe their NFL readiness. I'm thinking specifically of players like Zach Martin from Notre Dame,
sure,
Brandon Thomas from Clemson, who shut down Jadeveon Clowney one-on-one, maybe better than anybody else in college last year.
Yeah, and I think Thomas is one of those guys who you have to watch a lot of tape on because there's nothing spectacular about his game, but you keep watching him, and here's what you keep saying to yourself. He's blocking every play. And he doesn't, because he's only about 6'3 and a half, so he doesn't have those dimensions where you immediately look at him and go, wow, look at that guy. He just looks like a guy. But then you watch him, and he's rarely off his feet. He is always in good position. Rarely is he in recovery mode. He's just a solid, efficient, assignment-disciplined player. Now, it's very possible, because he's under 6'4", that people might kick him inside. And you know what? He'll be a really good guard if they kick him inside as well. And who else did you mention?
Zach Martin from Notre Dame.
Yeah, who I think can play left tackle, by the way, in the NFL. Maybe he won't be seen as playing left tackle right away. Zach Martin struck me as Jake Matthews light. I thought he was a guy who was, again, repetitive execution, very efficient. Not quite the athlete Matthews is, but I thought he was a very, again, I used the phrase a moment ago, assignment disciplined player. I thought Zach Martin was that guy.
And these position players where you can slide them all over, the next level of them is maybe players like Wesley Johnson from Vanderbilt, Joel Bitonio from Nevada.
Joel Bitonio is a really good player. I watched him early in the season. He handled Anthony Barr. I watched him against DeMarcus Lawrence from Boise State. He handled these guys very, very well. He is a lot quicker than people might think, given his body type. Because his body type, you don't say, oh, there's a left tackle.
Sure.
And maybe he won't play left tackle in the NFL. But the point is, he was a really good player in college at left tackle who handled guys who are going to be drafted and are probably going to have good NFL careers. So Joel Bitonio is a very good player. Wesley Johnson, I don't think he's quite as good as Bitonio. But he's another one of those guys that's consistent, stability, blocks, probably fits better inside. I think he'll be seen that way in the NFL. I don't see him as a left tackle in the NFL, maybe a right tackle, more than likely an offensive guard.
Now, of course, there are so many offensive linemen in this draft. There's no way we can cover them all. But if you're looking at prototypes, the interior lineman If you're looking for a move interior lineman, Xavier Suafilo UCLA is maybe the top of that list. And then you have players like Gabe Eichard from Oklahoma as a center, Trey Turner from LSU.
Yeah, you mentioned the UCLA kid.
Sure.
And he is, well, he played tackle for a couple of years. He's a really athletic kid. He'd probably be the most athletic guard prospect in this class. And keep in mind, we're now in an NFL where I think athleticism on the inside will be valued more.
Especially in the Eagles offense.
Certainly in the Eagles offense, for sure. I mean, Jason Kelce is a perfect example of that at center. There might be a lot of teams, given Kelce's size and the way he plays, if you're running a power scheme, where you might not even have Jason Kelce on your board.
Right.
But Jason Kelce, in a move-type offense, where you want your offensive lineman to have some mobility and movement, he's perfect. Suafilo is the same guy. He's very athletic, moves extremely well, light feet, which you rarely say about offensive linemen, particularly guards, but he's that guy.
You could even throw a player like Weston Richburg from Colorado State into that group of players. And then if you are one of those power teams looking for those big mammoth guys on the interior, there's plenty of players in this draft for you as well. David Yankee is a player who is that guy, but he's a sort of a polarizing prospect now. He began as considered maybe a first, second-round player, and now it sounds like he's going to drop a little bit.
Yeah, because I think the more people watch him, I think in some ways he's a one-trick pony. He's a power player. You watch him, he's not particularly nimble. He's not particularly athletic. There are times he almost looks plodding in his movement. So, obviously, Stanford was not a team that ran spread. They're very condensed with their formations. They run a lot of power where the guard pulls, and it's a very tight pull, and he has to work up to the second level, which he at times did well, at other times not so well. You wonder as you look at the future of the league, and again, we don't know, because we know what Seattle did, we know what San Francisco did. Those two offenses were built on the run game, and they're the two best teams in football. So we don't know exactly where the league's going. But when you think about more spread-type offenses, and that's not going away, you wonder if a David Yankee fits that or if he is very team and scheme-specific.
As you look at that next level of player in that power interior lineman mold, players like Gabe Jackson, Cyril Richardson, Anthony Steen, Marcus Martin, the center from USC, does anybody stand out there to you?
I really liked, did you mention Chris Watt?
And you like Chris Watt from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Chris Watt from Notre Dame. I really liked on film. I thought, again, guards are often tough because guards, you don't necessarily see them get out on the perimeter. You don't say, wow, look at this athlete move. Sure, some pull here and there. So very often you're seeing guards playing confined space, a lot of hand fighting. You look to see how they come off the ball. Do they come off low with leverage so they can get underneath the pads of defensive linemen? Because if you stand up too much, you get driven back no matter how much you weigh. And I thought Chris Watt was a really efficient player, snap after snap. The other guy who I thought was the same way, and I actually think he's a little bit better prospect than Watt, is Anthony Steen, who you mentioned from Alabama. No one's talking about him because Alabama has so many players, and obviously they've got Kwanjo at tackle, who some might see as a first-round pick. But I thought Anthony Steen, for consistency of execution, was right at the top of the list.
All right, well, Greg Cosell, the encyclopedic knowledge of all the offensive linemen and all the players in this year's NFL draft class. He breaks it down inside the film room right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
They could use an interception. They could use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.